One of the many gifts that God gives to us as Christians is He gives to us the ability to share the gospel of His saving grace with everybody that we come in contact with. And how do we do this? A lot of people think we just do it with our voices, but your character has a lot to do with it as well. People watch your expressions. They watch how you act. They watch how you react to things that are going on in your life. And all of this is part of how we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, whether we want to believe it or not, because a lot of times when you think that you're sharing the gospel with people, I know probably in the back of your mind, you're probably always thinking, are they listening to what I have to say? But if God is the one preparing our heart, then He's already prepared their heart. And when we speak, they will listen, whether you think they're listening or not. So, how do we do this? We do it through the gifts that God has given unto us. And He's given each of us many different gifts or qualities or characteristics that were His own. He has given them to us. And He gives us these things so that we might help shape people's understanding of what the gospel is all about. We can't tell them everything that the Word of God is all about because we don't know it ourselves. But we help shape people's understanding. And when we do this, it helps to comfort them in a lot of the situations and circumstances that they're going through, a lot of sorrows that they might have in their life. And we do this to encourage them, not to put them down, but to encourage them, to inspire them, to teach. And what we're teaching is how to point others to the way of Christ. That's what we're teaching. We can't save people, but we can point them in the right direction. And if they want to be saved, we can help them get there with the wisdom and knowledge that God has given us. So one of the things, in order to be able to do this in their life, one of the things that we must recognize is we've got to acknowledge that everything that we have, all of these unique gifts that we have to share with others, they are gifts from God. They have nothing to do with our own self-righteousness. We didn't make ourselves by all the studying that we do, all the praying that we do. All of these things help us with our wisdom and our knowledge according to the Word of God, but everything is a gift from God. The things that we offer to others, they were gifts that were given to us. And that's what we have to offer. So God gives us this strength through the power of the Holy Spirit that is indwelling within us. And this strength gives us the confidence, because we all need confidence, and courage. When we all need courage from God to be able to... How many of you have you ever prayed, Lord, just open a door for me and I'll walk through it? How many doors has God opened for us and we didn't have the strength and the courage to walk through it? So God gives us that strength and that courage to walk through those open doors so that we can communicate to others that He's given unto us. And every open door that He gives to us, all the strength, those are opportunities that God has blessed us with. We shouldn't see them as something that we have to do. We should see them as opportunities that God has given unto us. And when God gives us opportunities, we should be excited about them. So God gives us these opportunities. Our gift to communicate with those around us is only going to be specific to the things that God has already taught us. So there's things that you know about the Word of God that I don't know about the Word of God. There's things that I know that you don't know. So that means that you're not going to try to portray to somebody else the things that I know because God hadn't taught you those things yet, and vice versa. So they're specific to what God has taught us through wisdom, through knowledge, through understanding of His Word. This is where all of this comes from. So God has put His Word within our heart. If you remember, David said, "Thy Word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." God has put that Word in our heart because the world needs to hear the message of salvation. That's why it's there. So that we can take it out and present it to the world. So that means it's not just our willing service, but it's the desire that God has instilled within us to share the testimony that He's given to each and every one of us. And that testimony is the testimony of the time that you were saved. And all of this came through His saving grace. It's where all this comes from. Now, if you go over into the book of Hebrews, and I know this is pertaining to the children of Israel, but it also pertains to us today. But in the book of Hebrews, here's what he says. Chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Here's what he says. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days." Of course, he's talking about the covenant that he made with the children of Israel, but he's also talking about the covenant that he has made with us, this new covenant that we have during this grace dispensation period. He says, "And this is the covenant I will make with them, saith the Lord." He said, "I will put my laws into their heart," meaning the Word of God. And he said, "I will write them in their minds, will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." This is a promise from God. When we, by faith believing, accepted His saving grace, He said, "My Son paid your sin debt, and I'll not remember those anymore. And I will instill within you my Word so that you might be able to go out and share my Word with others." This is the promise that God has made unto us. So this morning, what we want to talk about just for a few moments is our voice for Christ. What is the importance of us having a voice for Christ? So if you'll turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 23. And here's what he says. And this is a record of John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. And here's what they asked him. They said, "Who art thou?" And he said, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed. He said, "I'm not Christ." That's one of the first things that we learn. We are not Christ. And he said, and they asked him again, "What then? Are you Elias or Elijah?" And he saith, "I'm not him. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to them, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And here's what he said. And this is the part that we need to learn in our life. And here's what John said. He said, "I am the voice." That's who I am. I am the voice of one crying out in a wilderness. The world that we live in now is considered a wilderness. And he said, here's what I'm saying. "Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He said, "I'm not teaching you anything that was never said before. I'm the voice of what's been taught from the very beginning. That we must accept and follow after the saving grace of Jesus Christ." So that means today, as Christians, we are the voice for Christ. That is our opportunity to be able to go out to bring awareness of the Word of God to everybody that will respond unto it. sometimes we think the awareness that we bring is some great new revelation, but it's not. It's just a fulfillment of things that have already taken place. So man tries to be extravagant in presenting this word of God to the people. They try to be profound, like I'm going to say something that you've probably never heard before, or I'm going to do something that you've probably never seen before. So we're trying to present it in such a way that we think that's what it's going to take to get people to notice those things in our life. But the Bible just says, if you're going to present the Word of God, here's how you do it. You just present it in spirit and in truth. Do it with the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, and just be truthful about it. Because the Bible says we're like John. We're just simply a voice, a messenger of God, nothing more, nothing less. We are just here to proclaim Christ. And keep it simple. Don't try to dress it all up where people don't understand it, because those who try to dress it all up probably aren't understanding it themselves. That's why they're dressing it all up. Keep it simple. The plan of salvation, we are to announce this plan of salvation to the world, and we must be able to stand up proudly and just simply proclaim, I am the voice of the Lord. Here's what I have to say. And keep it simple. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, here's what Paul told to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. He said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." You can't get any simpler than that. Our position in Christ is to, first of all, encourage one another as Christians to remove anything in our life that is a hindrance to our relationship with God. And then secondly, it's to invite people to know what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. It's a very simple plan. And we shouldn't portray salvation, and this is what he was talking about in Corinthians, it would be wrong for me to stand up here and say that someday you need to be saved, because someday may never come. So we shouldn't portray the plan of salvation as being someday, but we should portray the plan of salvation as something that needs to be taking place today. Because that's how important that this is, because eventually, and I know we've heard it for however many years you want to say that you've heard it, but eventually time will run out and eternity will begin. That's why everything that we do in our life should be something or have something to do with that of eternal value, because eternity eventually is going to take place. Eternity is eventually going to happen. So when we talk about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, then we've got to learn that every day that God gives us here upon this earth is a day that brings us much closer to His coming than we first believed. There's where we need to be in our life in Christ. And if you go back into the book of, or forward into the book of Romans from John, here's what he says. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Here's what he says. "And knowing that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed, meaning when we were first saved. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But here's what he says. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Where should my focus be today? My focus should be upon Christ. My focus should be upon the time of His return, because I know His return is very close. So we are given an urgency to wake up. And what does that mean, to wake up? It's you're not like you're physically sleeping, but spiritually, if you go over into Revelation and look at the church of Laodicea, which depicts our church age that we're living in today, the church is asleep. And when he says the church is asleep, he means that the church has got too many different things going on within them that are worldly and not spiritual. So we're technically we're asleep. And when he says this, he gives us an urgency to, he tries to encourage us that we need to wake up, not just for your own eternal value, but how many people, and sit here today and just take a moment and think about this. How many people in your immediate life right now, without judging, but knowing that they've professed that they're not Christians, how many people in your immediate life right now can you count that are lost and undone and unsaved, and if the Lord would come this very moment, their eternity would be separation from God? And you probably don't have enough fingers on your hand to count just the ones that you can think of that are close to you, that are near and dear to your heart. That should be enough of a wake-up call to show us the urgency to tell others what eternal life is all about. But yet, we probably pass by or talk to these people daily and think, well, I would say something, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. Go ahead and hurt their worldly emotional feelings, because they're not going to have them one of these days anyhow. So go ahead and hurt those feelings. Be honest with them. Be truthful with them. Tell them what salvation is all about. And let them know that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And that one of these days, that eternity in one or the other will begin, and that day is probably not too far off. And this all started back, and we're going to have communion in a little bit, and this all started back in the plight or the flight out of Egypt with Moses and Aaron. This all started back then. If you go back into the book of Exodus chapter 12, what was one of the things that he said? And this flight out of Egypt depicts the urgency of the church today waiting on the coming of Christ. But he said, when it talked about the Passover, he said, you shall eat it what? With your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, you shall eat it with haste, because it is the Lord's Passover. Now, what's the urgency today that you should be telling people about salvation? Your loins should be girded, meaning salvation. You've got to be saved to go to heaven. Your shoes on your feet. The Bible, if you're in Philippians, he said your feet are shod with what? The gospel of truth, the Word of God. And he says, your staff in your hand, which is the ultimate power that God gives you through the indwelling Holy Spirit, that every moment in our life in Christ we should see as a moment that God has given us to tell somebody about the urgency of salvation. The greater our understanding of the Lord's return, the greater our motivation will be to tell others about it. Now, Satan's going to try to take that motivation away from you, because he's going to tempt you and try to deceive you into falling after all different kinds of things that are going on in the world. And as long as our mind is there, it's not on Christ's return. So we have to learn to understand that we need the confidence that can only come through Christ, the confidence to always be faithful in the love of God. In 1 Thessalonians, here's what he says. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, now listen to this, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Every Christian, I would say, should need to come to know and experience, but every Christian, it's a must. We talk all the time about what we should be doing. Well, I know I should be doing this, and I know I should be doing that. Let's quit talking about what we should be doing, and let's start talking about what we're experiencing. Because if we're experiencing it, we're doing it. So we all should experience in some way in our life the importance of being watchful, the importance of having an alertness for the coming of the Lord. And God will allow us to experience that in many different ways in our life. And sometimes He may do it through a life-threatening illness. He may do it through sickness. He may do it through somebody else. But we need to experience that. He may do it through a natural disaster. There's many ways that God allows mankind to experience that in their life. And we need this experience because this is where our mind needs to be. This is where our thoughts need to be. And it's because the Bible says that the enemy of our soul, which is Satan, he's going to seek out, he can't take away your salvation, but he's going to seek to compromise your faith. That's what he's going to do. He's going to try to hinder your relationship with God. He's going to try to get you to let go of those things that God tells us to hold fast, be steadfast in, be immovable in. He's going to try to get us away from that. And he's going to do it through many different kinds of oppositions in our life. Now, why is it that a lot of times we see those things and heed to them, but we don't see the things that God is doing to try to get us to experience His alertness, to try to get us to experience the need for the coming of Christ after His church. So we have to make it a goal to understand. And one of the ways that we do this is we pray, we study, we gain wisdom, we gain knowledge, and we want to understand not only the things that we believe in, but we need to understand the one that we believe in. You know, a lot of us understand a little bit. A lot of us don't understand a lot about our salvation, and there's a lot of people that don't understand the one that you do believe in. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says so. Why does the Bible say so? Just because. How many of you get these kind of answers? We need more of an understanding in our life. Our life in Christ requires spiritual endurance, and a lot of us have no spiritual endurance. And we know that because when we get into conversations with people, we don't endure very well. Because as the conversation goes on, we're looking for ways to get out of the conversation. We need spiritual endurance. In order to gain spiritual endurance, we've got to be steadfast. We've got to mature. We've got to be immovable. We've got to be rooted and grounded and established and anchored in the Word of God. All of these things that God wants to do for us to secure us in our salvation with Him. First Peter, here's what he says. First Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Here's what he says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always. Now listen to this. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, and give it with meekness and fear. Now, there's nothing there that says be ready to give somebody else your opinion. Because your opinion is no better off than my opinion, and it means nothing. But here's what he says. Be ready to give every man the reason of the hope that is within you. What is the reason for the hope that is within you? Why are you saved? Could you stand up and tell me today in a few words that has meaning, that has spiritual meaning? Can you do it humbly and in reverence to God, the reason that you are saved? I don't want your opinion. I want the reason that God instilled within your heart. And this is one of the things that we need to think about, because being a voice for Christ means having an answer to whoever might ask you about your faith. Why are you faithful to Jesus Christ? The only way that we can answer that is that we've got to be prepared by being equipped with the Word of God that He has given us understanding of. I get quoted Scripture all the time, and one of the questions that I ask when I'm quoted that Scripture is, first of all, I want to know where it's at. Because I want to look it up and read it for myself. And second of all, don't quote it to me. Give me some understanding of it. What understanding did God give you of that Scripture? You know, there's a difference between being preached to and preached at. I could stand up here and preach at you all day long, but I would rather preach to you, because I would rather give you something that God gave to me to understand and share it with you than to stand up here and say, here's what you all ought to be doing, and I'm not doing it myself. So in our life in Christ, we should reflect Christ's teachings of compassion and love. And we should do it while we're speaking the truth of the Word of God. And if you just know the Word of God and you don't know the truth of it, then that's not something you should be trying to get somebody else to understand. We need to share with others what God has already given us understanding of in our life, and use the Word of God to do that. We, as Christians, we all serve the same Lord. We're all part of the same body of Christ. And becoming a voice for Christ means communicating to others, and communicating in a way that is helpful to building with them a spiritual life in God. Not tearing something down, but building something up. So that means we need to speak the truth. Not just because we know the truth, but because we've experienced the truth. We're living the truth. And we have a desire that other people might understand and live that truth as well. One of the things that we must remember is that if we are a voice for Christ, that may very well be somebody else's guide to salvation. Whether it's by listening to you speak, or whether it's by watching your godly character, that might be the only way they see what salvation is truly all about. So we need to be genuine. We need to keep it simple, and we need to be truthful so that others might see the urgency of salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that we humbly bow before you this day. And we just pray today, Lord, that you would instill within each of us, Lord, how important it is to let others hear and see what your saving grace is all about, Heavenly Father. We know as we live our lives upon this earth, Lord, that every day is one day closer to going on to be with you. And Lord, we would like to know that everybody that we come in contact with, Heavenly Father, is ready to go as well. That, Lord, your church may grow, that the body of Christ, Lord, may grow and it may flourish and it may become that which you would have it to be, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful that you give us opportunity after opportunity, Lord, to be able to go out, Lord, and to show others, to be an example of what your salvation is all about. And we would just pray today, Lord, that as you touch the hearts and the lives of each and every one, Heavenly Father, that we would continue to follow after your leadership and your guidance, Heavenly Father. That we would continue to look to thee, Lord, that we would continue to let our light shine before others, that they would see your good works within each and every one of us. And we just pray today, Heavenly Father, that those that are out thee, Lord, that are unsaved and know thee not, that today they would heed, Lord, to the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, that they would turn and give their hearts to thee before it is everlasting too late. We thank you once again today for this beautiful day, Lord, for those who have come out, not just here, but many other churches around the world, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Lord, that as we ask for forgiveness of those things in our life that aren't pleasing unto Thee, we pray that we would always be found faithful and follow after those things that are pleasing unto Thee, Heavenly Father. Watch over us, Lord. Continue to lead us and guide us. And all these things we ask in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen. Okay, this morning we are going to have communion, so I would like to invite Roger to come forward and lead us in communion this morning.
So thankful the Lord allowed us to have one more day that we could come together and rejoice in His name. I'm thankful today that I can actually say I'm a child of God. And I'm trying to live my life for Him and around others that others can see that there is a living God. And He loves each and every one of us and all of us in a very special way. And he has no difference between each and every one of us. We're all the same. We're all His children. And this morning, we're going to have communion here in a few moments, but I've got a couple words from Matthew I'm going to read. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven. You are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Here's one thing God wants us all to take and remember. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's one of the things we need to do always, to be a humble and obedient to God. So, like I said before, that others can see Christ in us, and there is joy in the Lord. You know, back in the day, I could actually say I didn't have no joy because I didn't know what it was. But one day I found out there is joy that can be good and awesome because only God can give it to us. So I'm thankful. So this morning we're going to have communion. And those of you that wants to take part of the communion, go ahead and come up. And
reach you.
This morning we're so thankful for each and every one of you that wants to take part in the communion, and I know the good Lord will bless each and every one of you. And this morning the Lord took bread and He broke it, and actually to always remember that bread is Jesus Christ Himself. He said, "Eat, take, and remember of Me." After the same manner, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of Me that I give to you. In My blood do ye, as often you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, do you show the death till He comes again." May God bless each and every one of you.
Okay, does anybody else have anything this morning? Don't you remember Bible study Thursday evening at 6? I don't know why I have such trouble remembering that. Too many Bible studies going on, I guess. 6, and we're talking about the entity of Christ. Now, we didn't get to have Bible study this past week, but we are going last week's Sunday school lesson. Did I get that right? bring your papers, because one of the questions that was asked 2 weeks ago was, when is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Last week's Sunday school lesson covered some of that. So we're going to try to answer that question Thursday evening first, and then you all bring some scriptures and some things that you found, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
I read this commentary on the internet at the bottom of it.